I would say there was a time in my life that I would say that that's not my type of music. But you know, I can say now that's my type of music. Amen. That's good, brother. Hey, one of these days I can join you. If you let me, brother. Amen. You're probably tired of me already staying at your house, but just kidding.
Well, maybe a little.
Yeah, right. All right, we won't go no further on that issue. But that was a good song. And I do appreciate your hospitality there also. I'm surprised to see a good crowd on Thursday. My second Thursday in a row.
Amen.
And you know, today I think the Spurs are playing, aren't they? Come on, where's those Spurs fans? Yeah, you got the tape VCR going, right? But that's all right. I appreciate you coming out, really, because it's a blessing to see the brothers here in the church and all that. But it's a lot of competition to go against the Spurs. I'm a Spurs fan too, but I'm more of the Lord's fan because He saved my soul. And I just praise the Lord. Y'all can open your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Father, we ask You, Lord, to bless this word. I ask You, Lord, that You give me a clear mind. And Lord, You remove anything that's not of You. Lord, I pray what's not of You, Lord, and Your will, that You let it fall to ground, be forgotten. And I ask, Lord, that You just bless me and bless these hearers. Lord, we know it's for Your glory and Your honor's sake. And Lord, we want to be revived too. And I ask You, Lord, to bless this message. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 13. Before we read the verse text, I got to thinking, reading this and reading it, hearing it from a brother, this point of another brother preacher's point of view, it really spoke to my heart, and I studied it out just a little bit. I say a little bit. It's been on my heart for a few days now, and also I had a chance to share it over there in Irapuato, Mexico, with them over there. I hope they caught it. I don't know if they understood it all well. But, you know, sometimes when we talk about these heavy issues that are right in front of our eyes, like the brother was saying, you know, let's just face the facts, you know. We're living in time of wickedness and sodomy and all this, and what you're getting in the television and in the newspaper and at work and all that, you're seeing it, you're being even contaminated by it in a sense. Of course, we're protected by the Lord and His blood and washed and all that, but outwardly we're being attacked by the world's wickedness and the way of this world. When a church preacher starts preaching about wickedness and giving a testimony of past or what this world is doing, a lot of times I think we as church members get a kind of like a more holy than thou type of attitude, and we say, hey, wait a minute, this is church, you know, we don't want to hear these things right now. And that's why I say maybe the church in Irapuato didn't quite understand what I was getting at, but I trust they did. But, you know, I want to speak some things tonight, a few things over this type of, this deal that the world is given over to wickedness, given over to the sinful lifestyle, that it's almost, you can almost see a fervency in doing what they do. You can see that they go to it with almost all what they have, all their might. And thinking about us as a church, we've been washed, we've been changed, we've been redeemed, we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, we have His Word, we have His guide, and I wonder, are we right behind them? Instead of being fervent for God's work, being on fire for Him. You know, it talks here, let's read it, 1 Samuel 13, it says in 19, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. But what stood out to me is, or was this, that there was no smith there, no iron worker, no man to prepare them weapons and swords or whatever, because back then it was a physical war. It was an actual kill the enemy type of war. And we know in this day and age, in the church's time, our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is not a carnal battle. Our battle is not to go out and destroy the enemy, to kill them. We're out to save them.
Amen.
But I saw here that these Israelites, they were already behind this King Saul that didn't provide him, or for somehow or another, they didn't end up with weapons. Only Saul and Jonathan had swords, and these Israelites didn't have nothing, but they put themselves to a little bit of fervency. They went out and they got them and prepared them some weapons, by going to the smith of the Philistines. I don't know if the Philistine was outside the smith was outside the edge of the camp of the Philistines, and somehow they went in there in a disguise and sharpened their weapons. But what it spoke to me in this sense was we as seeing the world and seeing, in other words, sometimes we find ourselves like that, hopeless, helpless, without weapons. Maybe we need to take a peek and see something of the world. Now, I'm not saying let's go down to the camp of the Philistines or to go down to Egypt and receive counsel for them or do what they're doing. But brother, I think we can learn something from the fervency of this world.
Amen.
I mean, they're fervent. I mean, what they're doing wrong, they're doing it wrong. They're doing it wrong 100%. And what we're doing right, I don't think it's near 100%.
Right.
Half times. And you know, I see this, that we need to learn from these Israelites back then. You know, that word fervency speaks of fervor. Speaks, and it also comes from the word heat. You know, you think about the smith. You're going to go to smith, you're going to get some heat. You know, you go to carpenter, you're going to get some cutting. But you're going to go to the smith, and you're going to get some heat. And you know, I think about the engine itself, an engine. You know, an engine, to make that thing run, it's going to need some heat, some friction, and so forth. And I think that's what we need. We need to get our motors a going again. I see there's things that could be hindering this thing, that for us to get fervent again. I think we need to get back a little bit to the praising the Lord in the meeting.
Amen.
We need to get back to the good old time preaching. Get a little fervent in our preaching. Get a little bit on fire. Remember that message Brother Joe West brought over here to the church? You know, he says, you see a house. And you see a house and there it is, and you go on your way. But you see a house on fire, and you'll stand there for the longest time to find out what's going to happen. And I think that was a good point. And I think, brothers, I think that's what needs to happen to us.
Amen.
Now, I know we can't muster it up, but we can look from our source, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put his word into work in our lives and ask him to help us be more fervent for him.
Amen.
Because, brother, the enemy is fervent, and they're going to end up in an eternal hell, an eternal fire, and you and I can make the mistake of getting into lawlessness and playing church and getting away from doing God's will, say, oh, it's the same old thing. No, brother, it's for you to work in your salvation. It's for you and I to work in our salvation, not to work out our salvation to be saved, but to work in our salvation to get us on fire for the Lord. It's up to you. It's not up to the preacher. It's not like what John said tonight. It's not at one meeting is going to do this. It's not a superstition. No, it's up to you. I was thinking about some of these things, about how the world is real fervent with their tongue. They're real fervent with their tongue. over there in Irapuato, talking to a young sister over there. She said, boy, that one colonia that they're preaching now, those women over there, they speak every other word of cuss words. Maldiciones, palabrotas, big words. And she said, you know, that just affects me. But you know what? Those people, hey, they're going all for their God, the devil. They're going all for, they're giving them all. They're giving them their whole soul, their whole lives, their whole gifts. They're throwing their lives away for him, for that wicked one. They're being deceived. Today we was driving around, like my wife was saying, we was looking for a vehicle and we saw a garage sale. We said, well, let's take advantage of it. Let's go look, see what we can buy for cheap here and whatever. We got off and walking in, some heavy set lady, she come out all mad for some reason. And she told us, some palabrota, you know, some big old wicked word about the person in there. And you know, that affected me. My wife kind of agreed, but she's just so nice. Yeah, or is that how it is here? You know, that really shook me up. I felt like turning around and telling her, lady, what's wrong with you? You think you're so perfect? But I didn't. And I said, don't agree with that. And, you know what that does? That type of fervency and in a wicked way, and it can happen here in the church. What that does, it gives you a foreview or a knowledge of what, who and how that other person is. You know, I'm already on the defensive or already on the offensive. I don't know what it is with this person or whoever it might have been that offended this lady. You know, I already been that lady or that man, they already had been defamed by this other lady. She lost her reputation, at least with most people. That's what happens. I said, no. You got to hear the other side. You got to know what the other side is. We can't listen to this type of stuff and make a judgment and say, well, now that person's like that because that person said so. I remember working for HEB, and I guess a lot of you that still have secular jobs, you know what it is to know a snitch. Maybe some of you don't. Some of you stay at a computer and don't know nothing but what that computer tells you. But when you work amongst sinners, you know, sinners, and like I did at one time, you know, man, you got to watch your back for every little thing because someone's trying to stick you. Someone's trying to take your job. And you say, why? You treat them so nice. I know. I did my part probably in bad towards them. I know. But you got this thing where the world is given over to the wicked use of the tongue. Look in James chapter 3. And I'm using this as like a contrast, not to glorify the world and its way and say that they're right or they're doing good, but to see the example of their fervency and where are we at and are we doing the same as they? And if we are, to get away from that and do what God has called us to do and do right with what He's given us to do and do right with our tongues. Amen. James chapter 3. It says in 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Then it says down there in chapter 4, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? You know, I just wonder. I just wonder if we're getting into the way of the world. That brother or that sister, so and so about him. You know, I think we need to be careful. We need to be careful what we say, even when we're in our own households.
That's right.
I get so tempted to say things that to me don't come out right, and I want to say them to my wife, and I can't say I have never done it. But I'm seeing it's wrong, and it's wrong for you, brother, to do it, and it's wrong for you, brother, to tell your fellow brother in the church, fellow pastor, or whoever it might be, in respect to you, brothers, pastors, because you are my pastor. But I want to tell you, we need to be careful.
Amen.
With our tongues.
That's right.
Because it can be a world of iniquity. It can cast fires, start fires, and burn people to smithereens. You know, I don't go hanging my dirty laundry out so everybody can see. I don't intend to anyway. You know what I'm saying? Brother, some things are better than not said. The Bible, I heard this all my life, and it was emphasized in this church growing up here at 602 Oakno. If you ain't got nothing good to say about anybody, don't say it.
Amen.
Don't say it. I mean it. I mean, that was good. That was good back then. I wonder if it's good today.
Amen.
We need to learn about our tongues. We need not to be like in that chapter 3, be masters of our tongues. And that includes me. I need to watch it. That we can etch somebody out, even using the word, etch somebody out of the scripture and say, that's you. And we must be careful because we can defame a man of God and we can hurt God's work.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's not hang out our dirty laundry. I think us as co-workers and missionaries, we need to be a little bit more united. As much as we have different characters, Bill and John, as much as Adrian and Michael are different in many senses, we need to find in us a way to keep us united without opening our dirty laundry.
Amen.
To the world or to the church. I love these brothers. And I know I can make a list just like they could of me. But you know what? Of what's wrong in our lives. But you know what? It's not needed. I got enough of my own to keep up with and keep contained as much as I can than to look at someone else's and say, no, it's you. You're like this. Man, have you ever looked in the mirror? Oh, a lot of times we think we look good, but you know, sometimes you know, just coming to church, I about lost my notes. You know, I'm one of these preachers that need their notes, and I about lost it. Oh, Steve can tell you how later, but you know, I looked in the mirror. I looked scared. I said, boy, you know, that's the truth. That's who we really are. Not when everything's calm and we feel good and everything. Todo bonito. No, forget it. Let's look at ourselves, how we really are. Us Christians, we ought to use our tongue to pray more.
Amen.
It's one thing, I'm not the greatest prayer. No, I'm not. But somehow or another, Lord, maybe it's age. I don't know, maybe I'm getting up there a little bit. Maybe I'm catching up to some of you guys. Maybe I'll never catch up to some of you guys. I probably won't. But Lord's waking me up certain times. And you know what? What else can I do? I surely ain't going to watch TV. I surely ain't going to do something else. I'm going to pray. I'm going to, you know, these temptations can come. But what's the right thing to do? It's to pray. Not waste your time. Pray. That's talking to the Lord, using your tongue for that. Using your tongue for praise.
Amen.
Oh, I remember 602 Oakno, and I'm not comparing. I know things change over the years, like been shared in the meetings. It's not always going to be the same. The emphasis, like somebody says, wow, I think it was Donnie last night. He says, man, I'm glad that they didn't come, you brothers didn't preach, or these brothers last night didn't preach, go ye in all the world, go ye in all the world. You know, it was a different meeting. And that's right. The meetings change. The meetings change, and things happen. There's going to be change, but we do not have to let down the praise.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is worthy of it. And I'm telling you, like I'm telling myself, I need to say amen more often. I need to say praise you, Lord Jesus, more often.
Amen.
And I thought you was going to share that earlier this morning, brother, and I think you did. I might have not caught it well. But when the things are coming and attacking us, man, a way to give the devil black eye, now, you probably did say it, is praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And that's lacking in my life. I do say praise the Lord and praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But how about the praise the Lord? Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. Lord, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And no one else can sit on your thrones, Lord. And you know, we're nothing, but you are everything.
Amen.
We can use our tongues for praise. Testifying. Not of yourself. You ain't got nothing good to talk about yourself. Neither do I.
Amen.
Testify the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done it all.
Amen.
You women, testify. Preach. Amen. Preach. Get out there and preach. Foolish thing. You know, crazy thing. Like in the Spanish, not that it's a better translation or nothing, but it's a crazy thing to get out and preach. But man, it's good. Paul says, translating from Spanish, forgive me, I'm down there all the time. But if I'm crazy, it's for the Lord. And if I'm in my right mind, it's for you. That one must have been dense. It wasn't clear. I didn't see anybody say, hey, amen. Well, that's translated from the Spanish version. We need to get a little bit on fire for the Lord. We need to be a little crazy for Him, a little fanatical for Him.
Amen.
Morelia won the championship last year, and boy, those people still hadn't stopped celebrating. No. And they're looking for another championship. Well, you know, that's fine. Let them. But you know, they get wild and crazy for some team. San Antonio might get wild and crazy for San Antonio. Hey, have fun. That's all right. But you know what? How about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Is He real in your life? Sometimes I wonder. I'm speaking to me, and I'm speaking to you too. Sometimes we ought to wonder, is He real in our lives?
Amen.
The world is fervent in their pleasurable wickedness. And I see that our young people and us older people, we're being always constantly drawn by this world's way, right? And now, especially our young ones, I tell you, it's tough. But thinking about that, the world is fervent in their sins. You know, we were preaching on the street, and we were preaching the best we could, John and I, and then right there, right a little further down, there was a bar. And these men fervent to go in there. Not even like indifferent. Not like we were even there. It's like, man, they're, you know what it is. The problem is they're bound by Satan. They're being lulled in there. They can't hear. They have ears, but they hear not. But you know, they're fervent for their nightclub going or whatever it might be. Discotheques. Just passing on Highway 35. North on the northeast side, I was surprised. I mean, I've seen always passing the city, you know, these little shacks, these called adult video, you know, they're kind of hidden, kind of in the dark and whatever, you know. And I said, well, that's, you know, back then I said that's bad, but you know, now it's like Walmart.
Yeah, you're right.
You know how I want to talk about it, right over there by where you live, brother. It's right over there, and it's like an adult mall.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple walking to it. Like, it, no shame of their sin. Fervent for their wickedness, you know? That's getting bad. When now it's not in the dark no more. Now it's coming out of light. Now it's an adult mall. I think that's what it said on there. I was just shocked. We're living in wicked times. How about us? Are we lulled by that way? Or are we making a stand for what's right? I'll read it. I'll just quote it. Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem," "that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." This is God's will. God wants you to go against the grain. He wants me to go against the grain. Now, I know, brother, we talked this morning, or we were listening to a message this morning by Brother Lindell, talking about that, you know, we can't do things in the flesh. You know, it's a spiritual battle, you know, and so forth. We got the spirit and in the flesh, and it's just a constant battle. Brother, but we need to seek God to help us to go through the wiles of the enemy and do what's right. God wants us to be zealous of good works. I just wonder how many say, well, another hard message, or, oh no, I can't, I can't wait to get to go see the Spurs. Brother, I tell you, you know what? It's time to wake up. It's coming closer and closer to the day of our redemption. It's coming closer and closer to the day of judgment. It's coming closer and closer. Hey, I'm just seeing it all around me. Kids growing up. And some kids are leaving, some of the missionaries. Man, it's going like that. What we ought to do, we ought to seek to love the brotherhood. We ought to do right. We ought to love our wives and our children. Not always easy. I mean, you know, we see them every day and we can take them for granted, but you know, that's what we ought to be doing.
Amen.
We ought to be working in our ministries at home, loving our wives the best we can, loving our children best we can. And I appreciate it. I appreciate that what John said last night. You know, we need to learn to appreciate our children.
Amen.
We need to get closer to them. We need to love God's work. We need to love God's work. God, help us love your work.
Amen.
The world is fervent for the enemy. And what about us? Are we fervent for the Lord? We need to ask the Lord for some revival, I believe. Another topic is, of course, I think many of y'all are familiar with this one. You see the JWs, how fervent they are. They're the Catholics, how fervent they are. Now, you might not see it about the Catholics up here as much as we do down there. I mean, they still have that day of Quaresma, that Wednesday, that first Wednesday where they put the crosses on their foreheads and they walk looking like fools with this black ash on their head. But you know, I'm noticing that even that's dying down a little bit. But you know, there's some that are still fervent for their way. They're fervent enough to walk on their knees down that same plaza that we meet at, to walk on their knees for some little idol, for some false god. They're fervent. What sacrifice are we doing? What fervency are we demonstrating? Lord, this is yours. Lord, have this. Lord, I want to give you this. What are you doing? What are we doing? Are we doing more? I think it's needed. It's needed in my life. My wife said, you know, we're not as young as we used to be. And you know, we do get tired. It's good to see somebody like John. He's more with those young people. Boy. And I remember those days, John, when I got to Salamanca. I was like that about your age. And boy, it's not as easy no more. I'm glad you're doing it. I want to help you if you need my help. And No, if you need me, brother, if the Lord calls upon me, I want to be there. You know, and these guys, old Bill, he's teaching them hard doctrine every other Sunday, right? Every Sunday. And he's teaching them the hard doctrines, the tough stuff there. And these guys, boy, they're just going after it. And you know what? All I can do is preach my guts out when it comes my time, you know, but we need to stay fervent. And I need to look for something else. Well, what could I do? What could I do a little more? I don't know. Maybe somebody will give me a hint later, not right now. You can give me a hint later. But yes, the souls. I don't think we realize the truth that souls are going to go to hell. You know, I think we're starting to believe the JW, the Jehovah Witness doctrine, that there is no hell. Or the Catholic doctrine that there's a purgatory. Both of those are lies.
Amen.
If you, my friend, even you being a Christian, or you, my friend, that's a lost sinner here today, look in your heart and just be honest with yourself, and you say, man, there is a hell. You can see those, if you would just stop to see those wicked thoughts that you have, my sinner friend, if you would see those wicked things you think of, those imaginations, those things you're planning, those things that you're doing, and all that, you'd say there's a hell if you was honest with yourself. People are going to go to hell. People are going to go to hell. Sometimes, I don't know, I don't want to sound mystical or even Pentecostal, but sometimes I'll get into a certain environment and I'll say, man, these, there is a hell. You know, the way people are living, I'll describe some, but I'm not going to right now. But you know, just every so often just walking through this life and I was, man, there is a hell. Look how these people live. Look how miserable they are. Look how stubborn they are. Look how wicked they are. Look how sinful they are. Look how they're falling into sodomy. Just wake up. There's a hell. Sometimes I believe it, but there is a hell, even though I can disbelieve it sometimes. But I'm getting more and more conviction of the reality there is a hell. And that I deserve to go there, but I'm not going there. Amen. I'm not going there because Jesus, He took my death. And He took your death. My sinner friend, He took your death. He's your substitute. And I'm glad for that. Like someone said this morning, or was it last night? Brother Will, I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. I'm glad Jesus is my substitute. But the world is fervent for the wrong way. And the false teachers are fervent for their way. Christian, how about us? Amen. Hey, we're doing a good work here. And I do appreciate every one of y'all and how y'all have been over the years. You're a faithful bunch. Coming on a Thursday night, you're a faithful bunch. You know, it just, you know, there's a lot of good in you, but can we do more? Can I do more? God give us the strength, but can we do more? They look for one convert, or two, or many. How many do we look for? You've heard it. I don't have to repeat it. Let's just go to 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31. Brother, I think this church, like every church, we want to live in blessing. And we are blessed. Don't get me wrong. But we want to live in blessing. We want to see God move again in our lives. We want to see souls saved again. I believe that's the case, isn't it? Amen. Isn't that the case? Do you want to see your lost loved one saved? Amen. Do you want to see them saved? Amen. Somebody told me recently that Corey told me that Brent's dad finally got saved. Yeah. And that Brent's rejoicing. I think Corey is, and so are the rest of them. Man, are you willing to rejoice over seeing one of your lost loved ones saved? He calls them up, I believe, or wrote a letter, I can't remember now, but he says, look, I'm reading that Bible you gave me, Brent, you know, I'm reading it, and you know, I've read it, and now I'm saved. that's good news. That's good news. You can write to somebody or email them or whatever it might be and say, I won the lottery. And that might be good news for a time, but you know what? That soul checks out and goes on. It wasn't that good of news. But a soul that escapes the fire, escapes the burning, now that's good news. Oh, I wish I could emphasize it more. I wish I could draw it more. You know, it could be just a lack on my part. But I want to tell you, that is good news. That's good news, Brother Christian. That's good news, and you need to think about seeking your lost loved ones in this lost world of San Antonio for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 31. It says in 21, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. You know, I think that's that's the key right there. I know you say, well, I've done it, but you know what? Leaving the meeting, you forget it. We forget it. He said, seek the Lord he sought the Lord with all his heart and he prospered. I think the Lord wants to bless this church. I know He does. Hey, and He wants to prosper you. He wants you to have some more joy. He wants you to have more peace. He don't want you relying on the pastor so much. He wants you relying on the Lord. He wants you relying on Him. God wants to prosper you.
Amen.
And me. We know the Israelites' promises were basically carnal or material, were here. Ours are spiritual.
Amen.
Now, spiritually, now and later. Brother, I wish I could transmit it to you like I do believe it, brother, but it's real.
Amen.
You want to prosper? You want the church to prosper? You want blessings? You want to see souls saved? You want to see family members saved? We need to seek the Lord with all our heart.
Amen.
With all our heart. It won't be a good saying. It'd be a reality. God help me. And God help you. We need to get fervent for the Lord. Because the devil got the people of the world fervent for Him. And they're going to be lost and they're going to go to hell. We can learn. We can go down and see the smith of the enemy. course, we're not out to kill them. We're out to see them saved. But see the Smith and see that fire, see that fervency. Do that like the Israelites. Go down there and get those weapons. You know, they used farm tools, you know. They used whatever they had. They didn't have. The majority of the people didn't have swords and whatever. But they had farm tools and they got themselves ready. What little talent might you have? What little work might you have? You know, I give up on comparing myself to my co-laborers. Forget it. But I can use whatever I got and use the best I got. Sharpen that thing up. Get that thing heated up. And maybe I can win some souls for the Lord Jesus Christ and get them to escape the burning. We can all do it. Amen.